Kind of building off the last with the offense, we did the same thing, obviously, on defense. Very busy when the season ends. I think the next day we got together, myself and Rustin, with Coach Gray, and to have similar conversations on what went well as a defense and obviously what didn't go so well and what we were going to do about it, and to hear his plan on both sides of the ball, which took a lot of time to talk about what happened, why it happened, from the things we did well, like getting, yeah, we were in the top 10 in sacks and we did top 10 in interceptions, but why we're giving up all the points and why we struggle in the red zone. And so we had those kind of conversations and talked about scheme and talked about philosophy and personnel and coaching staff. And it was a long discussion. It was a good one, I thought. I think you need to have those honest discussions. You probably should have more of them. When the meeting ended for me, basically told Jerry we need some time to think of what was the best thing, how to best get some time to get away from it, get some separation, think about what's the best way to go forward. You know, do we need to, besides the changes, do we need to make changes to the staff, the defensive staff, by upgrading it? Do we need to blow the thing up and start over? We need to kind of digest what we talked about. I told him to do the same, and we'd get together, you know, in a week or so, and that's what we did. And during that time, for me, again, it's like it is on offense, like other teams are doing. You're trying to think of what your possibilities are. It's easy to say, hey, we should be doing this, doing that. And like I said, we're never going to let someone go or make changes unless it makes sense, or we feel we have someone that's going to definitely make it better. Again, the urgency is that we can't take a step back. We can't afford that in any phase, offense, defense, special teams. So the thinking is we got to come out guns a-blazing, ready to play some football in September. And no one's going to hear about, oh, I hired a new coaching staff. You know, they're not going to hear that, okay? So the thinking is that. So I looked at all the different availability, possibilities of people that maybe can make a difference. Was there something out there that was better than what we had? Who was available, who wasn't? You do all your research. And for me, again, obviously it came to me that I felt the best way to do it was to improve the staff we had. I called Jerry. I said, listen, why don't we get together? We met in my office, and we had a nice, honest talk again about being on the same page of the things we felt needed to be changed on. Maybe it was some philosophy stuff. Maybe it was some coaching staff stuff. Just a lot of topics. I thought we were on the same wavelength. And that's, a lot of this is on me. I'm sitting here talking about adjusting coaches, but I got to do a better job also. This all starts with me. I need to coach my coaches better too, meaning my coordinators. And that's what, again, when I'm speaking with Jerry and I'm saying stuff need to be adjusted, well, that's me too. I need to be on top of this also and trying to adjust this as we go through this. So I thought we had some good ideas on what to do. We talked about how we can improve the staff. You know, last year on defense, we brought in two defensive back coaches, Steve Brown and Brett Maxey. We brought in Keith Millard. So we made three changes last year. And as a coach seeing it, it takes a while for coaches to gel, to come together. And again, I never said in a press conference before, I don't sit here and make excuses for, hey, we got new coaches, we're doing this, we're adjusting. Hey, I'm the one who made the decision to make those coaches changes. I think they were good coaching changes. So the thinking was, what else needs to be done to the staff? And I think that the obvious answer here is we made a change at linebacker, moved Chet Paravecchio to the linebacker spot. We think, again, the reasoning behind that, again, we think he's a great fit. And again, a lot of stuff about bringing coaches, it's not just about the players are going to coach. It's, I think he's great for Coach Gray. I think he's great in that room to challenge Jerry in ways that he needs to be challenged or second guessed or talked to. But I think that's what you need in rooms. You need banter back and forth to make your staff stronger. I think he brings that. You look at him earlier, he could probably play linebacker right now, or he'll probably look like he can. This guy, I've been around him a long time. He brings more passion to the game than when I've been around. He made a great impact on our special teams players. They responded to him in a big way. I've seen guys respond to him over the years from high school, college, and pro level in a way that I haven't seen other guys have an effect on players. I think he'll come in and make these guys, again, fundamentally, the guy's some of the most fundamental linebacker talk that I've ever been around. He knows more about linebackers and coaching, playing the position than anyone I've ever heard talk about the position, and he loves it. All right, and you'll be able to tell that by talking to him. I think he'll take this young group and make them the best, baddest linebackers in the league. And that's the thinking going in. I think he'll bring a lot to the table that way. So Jerry and I were really excited, thinking that was a great move for us as a staff to include him in there, and that's why we did that. And it's gonna be exciting to watch that with Akeem and Zach Brown, McCarthy, how they respond. I think you're gonna see a totally different type of play, different style of play. You want to talk about identity and demeanor? You're gonna see what you need to see from the way they'll be coached. I think that's exciting. The other coaching addition, Greg Williams, I've added as a senior defensive assistant. And again, what I'll do is, talking about Greg, is I'll kind of backtrack on how the dialogue even got started, or how the thinking came forward, even talking to Greg. when I finished talking to Jerry and I was taking that time to think of options, you know, brainstorming on how do you put a staff together, what piece they're missing, who can we go with, and what combinations makes us a stronger staff, I thought of Greg. And that thought normally would have been out of my mind because of all the stuff that had happened in New Orleans. But the fact that I've known Greg for 20 years, I've, you know, 1990 when I was 89 or 90, whoever it was, when Jack Pardee came over to the Oilers, Coach Williams came with him as a quality control coach. I watched him work his butt off as far as on both sides of the ball, doing quality control work, running the scout teams. For in those couple of years, I saw him move up to special teams coach and run that as good as anyone I've ever seen run it. I saw him get promoted to linebackers. Then I started coaching. I joined that side of the ball, and I started coaching, so I was working with him. I watched him be promoted to coordinator. We moved here to Nashville. I saw how the players played for him. I saw how they bought into the way he did things, the enthusiasm. He made players better than they probably should be, and we had a lot of success. And so when you know a guy that well, you're going to get some second thought to looking into it. So my thinking was, you know what, how would Greg fit into this? Well, you know what, first I need to find out what the league's position on what's going on, because really I hadn't paid attention to a lot of the stuff that was going on, all the detail of everything that had gone on. So I called New York. I made a phone call to New York, and this is during that time when between Jerry and I talking for the second time. And I called Commissioner Goodell, and I talked to him about Greg's situation. And he was very open about it. We talked on the phone for a long time. And he took me through all the details from start to finish on what they feel happened and how they handled it. I asked him a lot of questions. I felt like I had a better understanding of everything. And the main thing at the end was, I mean, how'd he feel going forward? And I think he felt, because of the way Greg handled himself during the past year, how honest he was with them over the past 12 months, how he accepted the responsibility for what the mistakes he made during that time in New Orleans, he felt that he was going to reinstate him. So I was asking about a timetable. What's the thinking on, like, when? Because I'm thinking, does this fit into? And he asked me, "Are you guys interested?" I said, "Well, we could be. I'm just kind of this is my first step looking into it." So that's where the idea popped in, you know, kind of grew a little bit. Okay, it's worth going forward. He told me it was okay to call Greg and start talking to him if I wanted to. So I did. So as well as talking to other coaches, I talked to Greg. He and I hadn't talked probably in a year since this had probably longer than that, probably since I saw him at the combine. And so I talked to him and kind of got his perspective on what had been going on, how he was doing, how he's holding up. I know it had been a long year, that kind of thing. And again, his talk to me was very similar to what the commissioner, as far as hearing his point of view on what happened and all the detail of that. So we went through that. I felt good about the talks with him, so I thought, you know what, the next step is I need to sit and talk to Greg face-to-face. I need to get Rustin involved in this. So I talked to him about the possibilities of seeing if this made any sense, and I thought, let's get together. So Greg came to Nashville, and we met, the three of us, for pretty much a full day and talked about a lot of topics. We covered a lot of things, from obviously football to obviously everything that went on in New Orleans and what his years there as a defensive coordinator. And I think what came out of it was I felt like he's being very honest at what happened. I think he's being very humbled by what he went through. I think he took responsibility for what he did wrong and the mistakes he made. And I knew that he just wanted to move forward. He was hoping for a second chance to move forward. And we felt that after that conversation, we felt that, you know, to Russ and I did that, you know, we need to discuss this and kind of see where we think this is going to go. But I thought it was a good meeting for us to have. It definitely encouraged us that this idea made sense. And that's kind of what got us going. I thought, you know, I decided to talk to, at that time, Coach Gray, because I'm now feeling this thing could work. And this is after, you know, so Jerry and I are talking about the staff, and we added Chet to the staff, and I'm thinking, you know what, here's another idea. You know, what do you think about this? And I brought Greg up, and you know, his immediate response was he was excited by it. He thought, you know what, they have a great relationship. You know, they've been together for 10 plus years. I think Greg coached him for a year. He was on the staff when he was here. They obviously worked together on when they were coordinators. When Greg was the coordinator and Jerry was the defensive back coach here, we went to the Super Bowl. Then obviously they went to Buffalo together as head coach and coordinator. So they've been in Washington together. So these guys have a great history together. They know how to work well together. So I want to talk to Jerry, and I talked to Greg about this, is how can this coexist? I'm not going to fire anybody. I think I'm just going to strengthen the staff. I think I could bring someone in if we think it makes sense that's going to make us a much better football team. And that's why I was doing it. If it made, you know, as we went through each step of this, I talked to Jerry. He had some good ideas about how to go forward with it. He was all in on it. Thought it was a good idea. And that's how we got to that step. So the last step, I obviously talked to Mr. Adams. That's what we talked to Mr. Adams about, our thinking, as we do all decisions like this. Again, went through the same type of dialogue I'm going through with you. And again, he felt that we're, you know, he was happy with what we were talking about. He thought it would be helping our team. You remember Greg, obviously, from the years when we had success here. And so he said, you know, we need to do whatever we think is best for the football team. And that, and then that's how we got to where we are today. I called the commissioner then. He met with Greg last week for their final get-together to make sure they were comfortable with how this thing was going to go forward. We start talking about a contract with Greg for a one-year contract to be part of our staff. And again, the title, again, I know people get into titles, but senior assistant defensive coach, which is similar to the title that Dave McGinnis had when he was here. So my thing is they're going to work together. This is Greg's first day here. We think he can help our staff in a lot of ways, not just with Jerry, with game planning, with just a lot of ways. That'll be developed as we go forward into the off season here over the next 3-4 months. And we just think it's from this move to me, I think we've strengthened our staff in a big way, strengthened this team. I think we'll see as that unfolds. Referring back to Greg again, I just feel like, you know, when this all came down and we went through all these steps, it just felt like it was the right thing to do. I've known Greg a long time. I feel like this is where he grew up in the coaching world with the Oilers Titans. What better place for him to come back to for a second opportunity after making some mistakes and to recharge his career going forward? I know how much he loves the game. I know how much he still wants to be part of it. And we felt this is a great opportunity for us, for him, to grow together, to kind of get through this thing together. And like I said, he came in here. He knows a lot of the people that are here, which I think makes it helpful. And he knows we're going to do things the right way. He knows how we do things. I think he knows his changes have to be made maybe in some of the way he's done things in the past. But I think we're on the same page. I think we're excited about the opportunity. And I know our staff is. And, that's kind of how we got to where we stand today. That's our feeling towards it. Again, I think we feel it. I think we've strengthened our staff in a big way, offense, defense, and special teams. And time will tell on all that. Obviously, we're going to be excited. So what I thought I'd do now is I'm going to let Greg speak and say a few words here, a statement he wants to say. And again, guys, the biggest thing here, guys, we kind of want to look forward on this thing. We're not going to keep going back and or go back and talk about what happened in the past or that stuff's all behind us. We're looking forward. And so I'll let Greg go ahead and take the podium here, and then we will open up for questions.
I'm not usually a statement guy, but I want to make sure I say things correctly and include everybody, and be patient with me. I met with the commissioner last week, and we had a good talk, and I thank him for my reinstatement back in the league. I'd like to thank Mr. Bud Adams, Rushen Weber, Mike Munchak, Jerry Gray, as well as the entire Titans organization for providing me this opportunity to come back to where I began my NFL career. I'm thankful and grateful and will immediately begin to work tirelessly to fulfill the commitments I've made to this organization and to the Nashville community to help the Tennessee Titans football team be successful. I take full responsibility and apologize for my previous actions, and I've used this year to reorganize my life and put focus on positive energy and positive ways to inspire and coach and motivate in this profession. I'm here to put my focus and my energies into working tirelessly on behalf of the Titans and making as much of a positive impact in every way possible as I can for them. I'm grateful for this opportunity, and I'm looking forward with excitement to get started. I'm a big quote guy, and I've used those for quotes for life with I don't know how many players and coaches that I've had a chance to work with in over 30 years that I've coached at all levels of football. And this one came to mind to me this morning, and I'd like to end with this thought by Robert H. Schuller, one that I've used before. It takes but one positive thought when given a chance to survive and thrive to overpower an entire army of negative thoughts. I'm excited about being back here with this organization. I'm excited about being back here in this community. I can't wait to get started. It was a great rebirth walking in here this morning. I arrived back in Nashville last night a little bit before midnight. Got in there early and it was like old homes week. There's a lot of guys on this staff that I've coached. I've had the opportunity and pleasure to coach. There's a lot of guys on this staff I've coached with before here. There's a couple of guys on this staff I've coached other places with, and now they're back here also. So again, I'm excited to be back in the organization and ready to get to work.
Brad, what was the last year like for you personally, being away from the game and everything that had gone on? What were some of your thoughts and what went through your mind and what did you go through during the last
year? You learn an awful lot about yourself in the most difficult circumstances, some of the most stressful circumstances. You learn a lot about your family and friends, too. And one of the things that I've always kind of chosen to do is take any type of a situation and turn it into opportunity to improve. And one of the things that I really did this year was focus on as many self-improvement things as I could. It was a great study year. It was a great year to lose a lot of weight and get back healthy. It was a great year to travel. I've spoken all over the country. The media was unaware of all the different places I've been, really halfway around the world to some of the places I've been. I visited Thailand, worked with some impoverished villages, a lot of orphanages over there. I'm a sucker for kids. You know, as you know, my foundation that helps the kids back over there in Missouri, in that little hometown I grew up in. And then I spoke to as many Pop Warner to junior high to high school to college football programs across the country. And I did that in a way that was trying not to focus any attention on me, but the game. And would like to feel like that from a professional growth way, it was a good year for that way. And anytime you're as passionate and love something as much as I do this, you appreciate it even more when you come back.
Did you worry whether you get another chance? And you talked a little bit about change. What kind of change do you think you'll have to make? Will you be as effective as a coach with some of those changes?
I think every day is an interview, you know, in life. And what you have to do is you got to go about doing what's best and be able to adapt and improvise to the situation at hand. And, I think I'll be effective. I always will. You know, I'm a people person. You know, and dealing with people, I've always been very good. Dealing with difficult people, I've always been very good. So this opportunity here, you know, in the National Football League, you have to adapt and improvise every year. You have to adapt and improvise every week, and you have to adapt and improvise to every injury you have when another guy has to step up and take the opportunity. This is another opportunity for me. I got to step up and take an opportunity that's similar to lots of different people and lots of different positions in the National Football League. So I feel good about that.
Did you worry whether you get another chance or not?
I felt confident that, you know, I needed to do the right things the way that our commissioner had told me about doing the right things, and I trusted in that vision, and I'm thankful that it came about.
What would be a message to players about their trust in you and their faith in you based on what a guy like Scott Fujita said out of his experience?
You know, one of the things, Paul, that I've done is I really haven't read anything that any of you guys have said. I haven't watched or anything. I've spent my time going and doing as many things as I can. And all I can tell you is this. Every day is an interview. And each person you meet, each person you start building relationships with, you know, trust comes from how you're dealing with them. In the National Football League, the players that you deal with in the National Football League, the most important thing they want is, can you help me get better? Can you help me keep my job one more day? Can you help me win games? Well, can you help me make more money? And so I think that all those things will come about, and you know, I'm not afraid to garner trust. I'm not afraid to start new and do anything I have to do.
You have any concerns about the way a Titans defensive bunch, maybe you could speak to Stu and Jerry, about the way this defense will be officiated, and if there's any inclination that any time a big hit's made because the spotlight comes, because of the history, they'll be examined?
I would say this, as you guys have studied, and Although I did, I did listen to the commissioner's speech last week, and it, when you listen to things like that, you understand that at every level of football, this has been looked at, from Pop Warner to junior high to high school to college to our level. So I don't think there's any big spotlight, no. And also too is that, you know, this you know, from a penalized standpoint is, you look at the, you know, those type of situations that deter or detriment to your team, you know, we're not looking about doing those type of things. And I don't think there'll be any bigger spotlight. That's my personal opinion.
Maybe it's a question for all three as well, but you guys obviously have worked well together before. How does this defense work to now? I mean, who has the final say? Who's in charge of the game plan?
I'll let Jerry and Munch talk about this, but one of the things is that, so we're all on the same page. I wasn't willing to do this unless you know, I know him the way I know him, and I know him the way I know him. You know, the four W's of life are very important to me on what I do from now on the rest of my career. And that's, what am I doing? Where is it at? Who's it with? And the ability to win. And who's it with is very important to me. You know, I've had the opportunity to coach Jerry Gray when he was a hard-headed player. Okay? I've had the opportunity to coach side by side with him when he's a hard-headed coach. I've had the opportunity to keep track of coaches in the National Football League and scout them. And Jerry Gray's been at the very top of my list in a folder that I carry in my briefcase with me every day that ranks position coaches, trainers, strength coaches, equipment men, all that kind of stuff in the National Football League. And we've worked side by side. We've worked in every capacity. He understands that I value his opinion. And guess what? Through trust of years, he kind of values my opinion. And it took a while. You know what? If you can get a player to listen to you when you're a coach, it's pretty much easy, okay, to listen to you because you're on the same common ground. So the fact that having a chance to work with these guys who I know, when I told you that who's it with, that's very important if you're going to try to do something special. And I'm excited about working with Jerry and with Munch, but really working with Jerry on the defensive side of the ball.
You obviously knew people in St. Louis, too. Why did things not work out there, you think?
You know, the thing in St. Louis is that, number one, is this is my first day back. I don't talk to, you know, I haven't talked to anybody. You know, part of the deals was you're not supposed to talk to anybody. So, you know, that's not for me to know. I haven't talked with anybody in that organization. I'm just happy with the opportunity that, you know, Munch or whatever took place is the fact that, you know, I could be here. So I haven't talked, so I don't know. This is my first day back in the NFL life.
Jerry, just to follow up on the previous question, the relationship that you'll have with Greg, how do you see it playing out?
Well, pretty much the same thing. I mean, like Greg said, of my 16 years in the league, I was with Greg for 9. So, and I know sometimes people are always looking for, well, who's a power struggle? And I think that's more so for the outside. But in here, I don't think we've ever had a problem. You know, even when Greg was a head coach in Buffalo, hey, Jerry, what do you think we want to do? You know, and we make those decisions and we go. You know, I know Greg's going to have suggestions, like Chet's going to have some suggestions. And, you know, Tracy and those guys who are not here, they've always had suggestions. And I think we got to figure out what's best for the defense. And then you go along that way. You know, just like last year, you know, when they were like, hey, we don't think we got enough sacks. And then, you know what, we brought in Keith. We did a really good job there. We got a lot of individual technique, but we gave up a little bit more points. So that's the thing that we got to do. How do you balance those things out? How do you win football games and get back to where you were 2 years ago when you was only giving up 19 points a game? And really, I've never had a bad working relationship with Greg, even when we went to Washington and I went back as their secondary coach over there. So to me, when Mike asked me, that was an easy decision. I said, bring him on, because he knows how I think and I know how he thinks. You know, it's probably more like brothers than anything, because you get a chance to go out and really, I know what he's already going to do. Trust me. I mean, even before we go out there, we've been in meetings today. I know how he's going to talk because he talks just like I talk, and that's a refreshing deal. But it's going to challenge guys, you know, and I think that's what's going to make us a better staff, because now there's not going to be one voice. Chet's going to be the same way. He's a little different. You know, Chet's going to – he's going to talk. He's going to speak his mind, and that's good, because now everybody knows what everybody's talking in their room. It's not any secrets going on.
You know, when before, let me add to that, too. And, you know, when in those times that Jerry and I have worked together for all these past years, he's had a valued opinion that I've listened to at every level. He had a valued opinion when I was his position coach, when he played. I listened to him. And you know what? I learned, and he taught me a lot about being a better position coach when he's at the end of his career still playing. I learned a lot coaching him. And then when we've coached side by side together, we've grown a lot together. The fact that I valued his opinion when he played, and then I valued his opinion when we've coached together, I don't think there's any doubt that he and I will be able to share opinions, and we'll both value them.
Well, who's making the calls during the game?
The head coach.
Well, I mean, we're not getting, you know, again, we're not.
I'm looking ahead to the game.
But we're not playing for 6 months. But the coordinator is Jerry Gray. So Jerry Gray is calling the plays right now.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is not to cut coach off. I mean, to me, I think, you know, the game is fast. So you got to have an idea. And to me, I think that's what you do during the week. You know, hey, Greg, what did you see during the week? Chet, what did you see? And then we put all those ideas together and then say, hey, look, just because I have the final say-so during the game, that doesn't mean I'm the boss over there. I mean, we got a lot of guys that are really good. You know, you're going to be amazed how he coaches. I got a chance to hear him today. Really good. And he's going to help us. What is he going to bring? I think he's going to bring some toughness. He's going to bring attitude to the linebackers. Linebackers and defense starts there. If you're tough at the linebacker position, everybody else gets in line. And I think that's what he's going to bring to us.
Greg, I'm gonna also answer this question. Is that, you know, sometimes if you haven't ever done it before, you put this magical spell or feeling on how to call a game, what to call a game, all that kind of stuff. And one of the things that I've tried to do and I have done and hopefully maybe have taught him also is you basically call the game three times before you ever call the game. And you go through your week, your weekly progression, and you're calling the game every single day on how you practice, how you script, how you do everything. And when it comes to game day, there is an open line of communication. And I can't tell you how many times when everybody thought I was making a call, Jerry made a call. Jerry made the call, you know, when a lot of times I'm the coordinator at the Redskins, and I turned and I said, okay, here it comes, third and six. What do you want to see? What do you want to see? And boom. And I've already gotten that discussion happen before we got to the play. And so there'll be those type of open lines of the communication. And the things that I hope we want you to be feeling about, the receptiveness that we can be open and honest with each other. And it's not a thing where you get upset because you didn't use my idea. Well, you didn't use my idea. We're not going to do that, right? Okay? And there's way too much, I think, pressure is put on, you know, the exact call. They've got to go out and execute the call. And we've got to fit the calls to the kind of players we're coaching here. And I'm looking forward to learning more about the players here, to tell you the truth.
Greg, how effective was your defense, do you feel, your last year with the Saints, and also maybe a year away, what kind of perspective, X's and O's, did you get, you know, with the year?
What was the first part of your question?
First one was, how effective did you feel like your Saints defense was in your last year down there?
You know, every year there's, again, an adaptability you have to have. And I've been real fortunate in my coaching career, and I think, you know, one of the networks did that thing where I've gone to several organizations and been able to start over. And with a new staff, with a new group of guys, and a total different style of defense that I'd had the year at the previous place, and they've been able to put together pretty formidable squads. You got to be able to do that year by year, you know, and what group of guys that you have that, you know, you're going to go into the season with, the final 53, and how those injuries happen. We adapted and we improvised as well as possible there. I probably didn't get, you know, the thing we didn't do a very good job of, as I look back, is, you know, some key takeaways in some situations. But I felt good about, you know, that whole experience and that kind of stuff. And this past year, and I was talking to the scouts upstairs this morning when I had a chance to see them, is that it was a pretty unique thing about being able not to be so focused on your own team or focused on your own situation, but to be able to look at the league-wide. You know, I was able to look at all different styles of offense, defense, and special teams, all different styles of coaching decisions, all different styles. And, you know, how about this? I got a chance to go to all 13 Virginia Tech games, you know, where my son's playing and my youngest. And so with all that kind of stuff, it's a good growth year in that respect. So, you know, I'm, again, looking forward to finding out how these guys can play here and helping and listening and doing the best thing we can to put the best product on the field we can.
Do you think that helmet-to-helmet hits league-wide have gone down because of the emphasis on players?
I don't know the numbers. I couldn't answer that question. I don't know the numbers. Again, what I've tried to do is that, you know, I've not talked to anybody, not seen anything. So this is my first day back in the life.
Jerry, from a personnel standpoint, where do you think you guys need to get better to take a big step on defense this coming year?
Well, again, to me, I think we got to basically be able to stop the run, again, when we're out there on 11 personnel. I think that's one thing that people try to do to us this year. And, you know, defend the red zone even more. You know, that was one of the things that we're kind of looking at. How can we get better in those two areas? Because, again, you know, we look back at our regular defense. We kind of started early in the week, and we look back at that, and we didn't have a lot of major problems there. It was more so in the sub, and that's what we got to get better at. You know, we got to get probably, you know, you look at San Francisco, they're playing the run with one less guy. And, you know, a lot of teams that are really good are doing that. So that's some of the stuff that we got to study and keep studying to see how they were successful with it and how we wasn't. And then kind of, you know, again, like I said, this league is wide open. So there's no secrets. You just got to figure out, can your personnel fit theirs and what you're trying to do as a scheme-wise.
Greg, because of what you've been through the last year, will you be a different coach in any way now that you're back? And if so, how?
Sure. I mean, I think that I think we always have to change, and I'll need to change from some things verbiage-wise, some things tact-wise, some things that way. Yeah, and I'm looking and excited about doing that. But the bottom line is still getting the player to perform, and what I've been able to do, and you know, I guess I've been had the opportunity to do in a lot of different places is that. How do you make an average guy good guy great? And if you have a chance to coach a great guy, he's got to be great on your watch. And so you still, it's a production business, and you're going to have to get him to do that. People have to understand how to do that. But I think, I feel like I'm looking forward to some of the newer ways that you need to do things.
Greg, you said that every day, you feel like every day is an interview mm-hmm. for you from here on out. Do you really believe that you will be able to put this, or that your perception will be able to change, or that you'll be able to put this behind you?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Because I've got a very positive outlook on things. I understand and respect the game an awful lot, and the past is the past. And what I'm talking about doing right now is creating a resume from this day forward.
That resume with the intention of getting a coordinator job or a head job down the road, you said 1 year.
I will tell you this. I'm looking to be the best coach I can in the National Football League, okay? And there's a lot of things that I could do in life, but maybe not cherish as much as coaching in the National Football League. You ask what I miss the most, I miss the competition on Sundays. I miss the competition on Monday night. I'm a competition addict. You know, and I enjoy that aspect of competing. Not going to apologize for that, the aspect of competing in that way. But got to make sure it's done in the right way. And those are the things that I'm anxious to get started about doing.
What's your assessment of the strengths and defenses of
Say what?
What's your assessment of the strengths and weaknesses of this defense as you kind of get a first look at it?
You know, I, again, to be truthful, I was here this morning, had a chance to listen to the coaches in a coaches meeting this morning, and they probably said, whoa, because I got a chance to speak this morning on certain things. And they said, boy, you can tell you've had a year off. You can't wait to talk. So But no, I haven't had a chance to look at one snap of film.
Marcus and Blaine aren't in there.
You know, I'm kind of sad that Blaine's not here. So as you guys remember the little tiffs that he and I used to go through, I'm anxious to get a chance to talk with him and see him again too. But those are the fun things. You miss the camaraderie. You miss the sacrifice. You miss the blood, sweat, and tears and the preparation that goes involved with getting a chance to go out and play and everybody sees the product on Sunday. But you miss all those other things too. So I'm anxious to get back involved with that and, you know, just the team camaraderie that you have.
Do you anticipate, I guess, players being a little bit skeptical about
that? No, I don't anticipate that at all. Players are players. And, again, you know, and I answered that in a different way back earlier in the press conference, is that they want to know that can you help me? Can you help me win? Can you help me be better? Can you help me stay one more day? Can you help me make more money? You know, that's what they want to know. And, you know, they want to be the best they can be. And so, and I believe that 99% of the people I come in contact with is they're pleasers. You know, and that what they really want to do is that, you know, they want to please you. And, you know, do they get a chance to play for a coach to tell them how to do it? You know, and I can't wait to get started and try to help.
What would your message be to them, I guess, going in, the first day we meet with guys as a whole?
Hadn't thought about it yet, you know. I'm just, like I said, I got here a little bit before midnight last night, and Jerry's had me working hard today, so.
Jerry, do you think that Greg will be able to be put in the past and that he'll be able to move on past this whole thing that's gone on for him the last year?
I think he just answered that, yeah.
No, I'm asking you your opinion.
Of him?
Yeah, if you think he'll be able to get past this.
If I go by his answer, of course.
But you're going to think this. I'm just asking, what leads you to believe that?
Well, because I've known him for, you know, I knew Greg in 92. You know, and I came over as a player, and, you know, I never played in Houston, and they had a lot of really good football players there. And you know, I respect coaches, and I respect what those guys do. And, you know, as a Pro Bowl player, I had my way of doing things, and, you know, it wasn't a negative way. It wasn't a selfish way, and I got to know Greg then as a player. So when I got a chance to coach, it was the same thing. I was a squad of control for 2 years. And then when I got back here, you know, it was, hey, you're going to do a quality control, you're not going to coach. And then I got a chance to be the secondary coach. So I work close with him. I understand what he does. I understand what he wants to do. And to me, I think, you know, when you have something taken away and then you get another chance to come back, I think you do change. Because if you didn't, there was 12 months of video, really not video, but 12 months of his life that he's probably said, you know what, I got to change these things in order to get back into the league. And so obviously the commissioner felt that way. Mike felt that way. I feel that way. And I can only go on what I know. And that's what I feel.
Greg, listen, you talked about having to change, you know, some things and change what. Do you feel like you'll still be just as aggressive in terms of your approach to defense and in terms of your approach on the practice field?
Yes. And again, those are what people get when I get a chance to help. If it's been my thought process as a player, you know, as a coach, you know, in all the years I've been doing this, is that I'd rather be aggressive than passive. And sometimes the fastest approach to getting a job done is being more aggressive. And that can be style of defense, scheme of defense, attitude of defense. You know, great defenses are 2/3 of your team, you know, because they're a huge part of the special teams too. And it's got to carry over into that aspect of the team. And, you know, I feel like that will always be a huge tenet of the National Football League.
I'm wondering if you're a year away, you haven't seen some people become more afraid of getting beat over the top. It seems like the aggression that you...
Say it again.
It seems like the aggression, the kind of aggression that you had when you coached here before, has dissipated in some places in the league, because the biggest fear defenses have is getting beat over the top, and they just want to make you chunk them to death.
Oh, I see what you're saying. And it's twofold there. I mean, you know, getting beat over the top is not the defensive back's fault. It's the pressure's fault. You know, I mean, and people, and you know, I look at that, and I've always smiled with that, with people's recollection or understanding of that corner that's out there covering the best athlete in the National Football League or playing at the wide receiver position, and you don't look at the rusher. You know, it's, you know, all those things work hand in hand. I do believe there's a blend, and if you've watched Paul where I've gone, we blended to the talent level. You know, and when I say, you know, a while ago Jerry was talking about from a sub-defensive perspective, it's going to be good for Jerry and I to sit down and talk that since, you know, he and I last coached, there's been a huge evolution of style of defense that I've coached since the last time he and I coached. When I've talked about especially the adaptability of your sub-personnel and your packages once you bring the fifth and sixth defensive back onto the field and how you adapted, all those kind of things. And I think I've got some, you know, maybe some help there that he has probably want to know just what exactly was I doing. But we weren't working side by side, but now we are. You know, so there's an open line of communication there. So, Paul, to your answer, your question is a mix of aggressiveness, a mix of bend but no break. That's always been a part of whatever I've done anyway. You have to adapt to the situation and what is needed to be effective during that time of the game. Maybe it is bend but no break. Maybe it is pressure. But, you know, we've got to do what is best for the players here.
Going back to your first time here, Tony said he thought you guys ran a bounty program in 2000. Were his comments completely inaccurate, do you think? Were you able to speak with him?
I don't. Like I said, I haven't talked to anybody in the National Football League. You know.
Mike, speaking of defense, Colin McCarthy, any updates on his situation, the concussion?
No, nothing. I mean, he's obviously doing well. I haven't seen him. He's been, I think he's doing much better. But again, our contact, these guys have been out traveling around and haven't been around much. So, you know, no more update, no concern, no added concern, but I think he's doing fine.
Could you see,
all right.
You know, you kind of put you on the spot.
Thank you.
Coaching the best and baddest linebackers.
That's right.
Go ahead, Jim.
Someone pick up on that.
How excited are you about, I guess, the opportunity and you have a good young group to work with?
Very excited. Obviously very excited. One of the things that I think we identified so far in our off-season study and things that we're doing is our necessity to get back to fundamentals. I really believe that it's a young athletic core of linebackers with a good blend of senior leadership in there as far as older guys. But the bottom line is we have to get better fundamentally. We have to create a culture in our room is something that will lead to the culture or the identity of the defense we want to develop here. We have to become more physical, play in and play out. One of the things that I've been able to get off a film study is we have to get away from the idea that we make one big play and that it gives us the okay to make two bad plays. Consistency is an essential part of linebacking. We don't have the luxury of dropping assignments, play in and play out, because too many other people are affected by our plays, or by what we don't do or what we do do. So we're after three things. Consistency, we want to be a consistent linebacking core. I think you saw that it was no coincidence that last Sunday probably the two most fundamental linebacking cores in football were the two finalists for a Super Bowl. And we want to create a culture or a physicality that we are going to play a physical style of football and we are going to play to our gifts. We're going to make sure we identify the things we do well and we're going to stress those points and we're going to make sure we bring them to the football field on Sundays.
Can you talk about from high school coaching, and that's not a good thing or a bad thing, but do you understand how it brings a degree of skepticism from some? And
if I ever lived my life by the skepticism people had, I never would have played in this league to begin with. I embrace that skepticism. I love that. That's what I challenge. That's what challenges me as a football player and challenges me as a football coach. In 1989, I took a team over that had lost 40 games in a row. In 2 years, we played the number two team in the nation for the state title. That's what I embrace, and that's what's got to come across in my room. I love people telling us what we can't do. It makes doing it that much better.
Mike, CJ
and Griffin, they're due their base guarantees by tomorrow. You anticipate both those guys?
They'll be business as usual. We're going to honor both of those.
Was too much made of, this is a touch-and-go situation with CJ, maybe they will, maybe they won't?
Yeah, I think always, you know, that always surprised me how those things had. It seemed like it happened last year also. I'm sure it'll happen next year again. But You know, I mean, it was, I talked to CJ yesterday briefly, see how he's doing, making sure there was no misunderstanding of what was going on, and he was fine, we were good, and enjoying his offseason.
There's a reason you didn't guarantee all that money at the beginning, right?
What's that? Well, I don't know about contracts. I don't know.
It's a question as to whether he's going to be back or not is because the money guarantees tomorrow, not because, and you guys crafted that deal, correct?
I have no idea. I didn't craft it. I mean, that's not. I don't get into what was decided 2 years ago, how his contract's done, or the thinking behind it, or anything. But no, I mean, obviously we're honoring it. We honored it last year. Doing it this year.
Was there ever even a question about whether or not did you guys even have internal discussions about whether you're paying?
Well, I mean, you discuss everything. It wasn't a topic of concern, but you're going to discuss all your, when you sit there, just like the coaching staff I just went through. Thoroughly of what the thinking was there, I think you could tell we cover everything. We talk about every possibility, even though it's not just like everybody does, about trading people. You talk about all the time, just to see what options are out there. But in this case, we've talked about it. You're aware of what your salary cap issues are and where the money's going and those type of things, but there was never talk that we weren't going to honor it or we were going to cut CJ.
As you head into what appears to be a crucial season for you, how good do you feel about these changes?
I'm excited. I think we're in as good a position as we can be in. I don't think there's anything else. I think we accomplished what I hoped we would. We got the people we went after. It worked its way out the way I hoped it would. I hope you saw that in the way I introduced these coaches. We understand it. I know we'll hear it all year about we have to win this year and all that. And to me, like Greg said about every day's interview, we know this year, every year is a one-year contract. I mean, you got to win. And we won my first year 9-7. We missed the playoffs by a tiebreaker. Last year, obviously, was disappointing. So this year, again, we know what the goal is. That won't change, and I feel we got the right people to do that. As we introduced them to you today, the changes we made, and we're excited. Time will tell, obviously, but I think we're heading in the right direction, doing the things we need to do to be successful this year.
I think you said after you moved Dow and shifted Dave, that Sean was your first hire. Roughly, when was that?
With Sean?
Yeah.
Officially, I don't know the date. It took a while. I mean, that's the whole point was that the puzzle was that he hadn't agreed right away. He was looking himself. He's doing the thing. We're doing ours. We're interviewing. So I don't know the exact date where he, it was almost like the same time he agreed when we signed all those guys. I think we signed George. I think we signed Sly. I think we signed them all the same, within the same day or two. The same 48 hours.
I guess with Arthur moving up to assistant O-line, you've got a quality control spot left and an assistant special team spot left. Is that right?
Yeah, we probably aren't going to do anything with the quality control spot. Like I said, I think I mentioned earlier, we're going to kind of like just spread that around a little bit, what we're doing there. We're not going to add a spot there. And then we'll eventually fill the assistant special team spot, yes. We haven't finalized that yet, no.
Greg, why do you think that Greg will be able to move on from what he's gone to?
Well, I think I already addressed it. I mean, I think we wouldn't be standing here, sitting here, if I didn't already explain why I thought. I mean, my relationship with him, the person he is, the type of coach he is. Just he took it simply the fact that he loves the game, and he was out of the game for a year. And I think that'll make guys realize real quickly what they don't want to, what they don't want to miss out on, what they want to give up. So I think he's highly motivated in a big way to come back, get back in the league, to come back here, be successful with us. And then see what happens. I don't think there's any doubt that he'll be successful.
Greg, how much weight did you lose?
I don't know. Way too much.
Well, you got to go
to kindergarten.
As long as you've been with your gym, since how long?
Since back here.
Okay. Who did you say the quote was?
What?
The quote. Who was it?
Robert Shuler.
And how come? I mean, did you?
The big thing is that you needed to improve a lot of different things, health-wise. Yeah. Mental-wise, emotional-wise, and had a little challenge from my sons. My sons, didn't think I could get it done. So it's always good to compete. I had to find a way to compete.
How do you not fall back in? I mean, you're talking, 20, 30 years worth of habits versus 1 year of sort of improvement. When you get back into the routine of a football season, you concerned that you could just fall back in old habits with eating or cursing?
Those always that way, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're always concerned about that, Got to try to work on it.
But Mike, since we talked to him last week, you haven't addressed Kenny Britt in this situation. Have you talked to him? what's your understanding? What's going
no, on? I have not. Our security people have. Our in-house people have. As far as we know, it's he's not being accused of anything. He was somewhere. He responded to a situation, but as of now, everything is fine. As far as his involvement.
Thank you. Thank you.